What's up, guys?
What's going on? So last year, 20 years ago, was a time to put the three-car back in victory lane at Daytona. Obviously, your first Daytona 500 victory. What has this been like coming back to this place, knowing that you know the reigning champion?
Oh, man, it's is the mic supposed to be on? You know, it's been really nice to come back to Daytona. I've met a lot of people here and create a lot of family and friends over time, and always feel comfortable coming here. And you know, it definitely struck some memories, you know, coming back. So when you come to the tunnel and knowing that what happened last year is possible again in 2019, you just you enjoy that moment. So we've had a good week so far, and things have kind of gone as planned, and just trying to build off of what we've created so far. Oh, man, just, you know, it's a race that sticks with you forever. I've got to do a lot of great things, create a lot of memories. Yesterday was a really fun going to Disney World, taking another kid with me that had never been. That was kind of a part of our Daytona 500, and it's been a blast, really.
Can you give you any more change?
Any more change?
Yeah.
Of?
Lucky pennies.
Oh, no more pennies. Hopefully the magic from Magic Kingdom rubbed off, though. So hopefully it stays with us till Sunday.
Only three people have ever repeated. I mean, how daunting and kind of rarefied air is that?
Yeah. You know, that's pretty impressive. The only three guys that have been able to do it back-to-back. And, you know, I'd love to be a fourth. You know, it'd be very cool. And it seems like a hard thing to do. This place is not easy to win at. That's why it's so special. And so many people haven't won here. So it's just a... This place is, everything's got to line up. Everything's got to line up just perfectly for you to go to victory lane, and that's what it's all about.
Of all the perks we kept having yesterday, come up with money, obviously, trophy and money, but the fun stuff that comes with it, what kind of stuff stood out to you last year?
I think one of my best favorite things I got to do was I had a media interview with Shaq on a podcast, and that was just cool, and I thought Shaq was impressive, and his interview was cool with me, interacted well, and obviously traveled a lot of places. New York was fun. Going on live with Ryan and Kelly was nerve-wracking, but I had a blast once I did it. So a lot of cool things that would go along with it. It's definitely a whirlwind. Yeah, it's definitely very hard to make a game plan that's predictable. I think the only game plan you can make is anything can happen, and you have to be ready for that, and your team has to be ready for that. So just be prepared for everything that could happen and could go wrong, and try and make things that go around it. I mean, last year with about 17 laps to go, we were a lap down, so you can get a lap back in that period of time and put yourself in a winning position. That's pretty good. You mean like a leader pulling away from the pack? I don't think it'll ever be that unless some freak. Yeah, you know. You mean like a restart with two to go? Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it can go green to the end. I mean, it has before, but more than likely there's a caution at some point in time. But I think it'll be a good race either way, if it's not green or if it is green. So it'll always be a great finish. And not too bad, because it's we got to get through, depending on damage, though. You know, we got to get through the duels. I'm hoping for a clean duel, and then but we've got so much depth at our team right now, we should be just fine.
Could you talk a little bit about how that works with those guys, and then impact that more
so Danny was a car chief himself coming up through, so he should be just fine. And then our lead mechanic under him was his car chief from last year in the Xfinity side. So he's got a guy that's been car chief. You know, Ebert, our main car chief, has done a lot of work there in that position for a long period of time. But we've got guys that can fill the gap and do just fine for this weekend. Now, you go to other places where you're making lots of adjustments in a small period of time, it probably hurts you worse, but not as bad here. Yeah, it's pretty special. You know, 50 years of anything is a long time, and to be a part of it when the 50th year is going on, I think that's special, and just trying to do my part and represent RCR well.
Awesome.
therefore, do you come down here with less pressure on you?
I mean, my pressure, I want to accomplish a lot of other things, you know. It was so special in the 500 and accomplishment pretty early is great, but just want to continue to show the three fans out there that we're going out and trying to get to victory lane each and every weekend, and the RCR fans, and this is another big year. It's a 50th year, and it's cool having something each year you come here to push you, because I feel like memories are made here in Daytona. If you look throughout history, the people that have won, and there's usually some hype going in behind them during that weekend of some reason. So anytime you have some kind of momentum coming into this place, I think it's good, whether it's just a 50th anniversary or not. Thanks. Celebration after was pretty awesome. I remember looking up, coming to the checkered flag off of turn four, and everybody's behind you. That's a good feeling, looking in the mirror where you know no one's going to get to you, and it's over.
Just talked with your brother about potential chaos on these race starts with this new package. They've been ramped up the last couple of years because that was your key time. The first three or four or five laps, they've gained track position. Do you think that goes up another whole level, and what happens then?
Yeah, I think it's this year restarts are probably going to be more fire than usual, you know, and just it'll be more amped up. I feel like you'll see guys spread from top to bottom trying to make time, and you're hoping that your line moves forward. So it'll be impressive, I think. Once you get to Atlanta, it'll be a good showing, and then Vegas will really be wild on these restarts. Well, I'm really confident in our leader and Jim France and what he's doing. I mean, he's really been involved and doing a lot with all of our owners and trying to make the best decision for our sport and seeing some of the things that we're looking forward to in the future. I think we got a bright future ahead of us. Truthfully, as a race car driver, I'm just happy to be in NASCAR driving. So, for me, I'm happy. I really don't care what they do as long as I get to keep driving. And I'll support our guys and our leaders to the end for that. So, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and do what I'm supposed to do, and that's drive. Yes. It's a grueling season for sure. But, you know, you look at baseball, I'd hate to be a baseball player. They play so many games throughout a season. I'm not complaining. If it does shorten it, that'd be great for us. It'd give us a little more time off. But I'm happy either way. It means a lot when you go out and you have to grind it out to the very end and have a good championship run because the strong survive in that series. Shorten it up. You know, there's some positives to that, too, for all of us. But it's been this way for a while now.
Do you hear drivers complain at all about it being too long?
I watch social media, and I see other media outlets putting out what the drivers say. So I see what drivers put out there. Not that I just don't care. I like being able to drive race cars. It's my biggest deal. Yes. Man, when did I first see a clip of that? Well, I've probably been seeing that clip for a long time since I've been watching a lot of Daytona 500s. I don't know what my first clip would be, but I guess understanding it and how important it was to our sport, I was probably 13, 12, 13, you know, when I really kind of got it, 14. I think it's, you know, there's a lot of things throughout history and sports that don't pertain necessarily to the sport that were important. To the sport, you know, it's huge because it's entertainment, and that's what we're trying to do is entertain fans. And the moment we get away from that, we lose our fans. So we need to stay entertaining, and it's a part of it. And I tell you, this year, the way the package is, there's going to be a lot of aggressive racing, and I'm sure you'll see some pushing and shoving. And if somebody can get a fist thrown, it'll probably happen. But I don't know. Yeah, I got to have a really cool plane ride with Bobby, and it was cool hearing him tell different stories. And anytime you're around those legends, it just feels good to hear him talk and talk about the sport. Yeah, I think that's their take.
But his classic line was, his fist began to hit my face, and
yep.
That's the end of the story.
Yeah.
He's got a lot.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Could you talk about the benefits or how hard it is when you win the Daytona 500 in terms of chasing a championship? Do you guys change? How much is your approach changed or not when you win so early and you know you're going to be in the playoffs?
Well, it's definitely hard being a first-time winner last year and juggling everything that comes along with it, but I would never throw that away. I mean, it's a championship in itself winning here, so it feels pretty dang good. But you got to refocus at some point. And I think our team put together a really good championship effort in the final 10 races. We were in a position to make the next round, and I messed up at the Roval pretty much, and that took us out of the next round. So we hunkered down and performed well to the end of the season. It definitely took us a while to get our bearings straight with the Camaro ZL1. But after we did, I thought we did a good job finishing off the season. Middle of the season was a bit of a struggle. And, I mean, I'm not going to attribute it to everything that went on with the 500, but we definitely weren't where we needed to be after this race.
Will there be anything you miss about restricted plate racing? I don't know if anybody's weepy or sentimental about this being
the end. Oh, man, I don't. It's given me good times and bad times. And you never know. I enjoy it. You got to enjoy it, because if you don't, you begin to get bad at it because you look so negative toward it. So I don't think I'll miss it. I just hope what the next part that we do is fun and we can make moves and pass. I got sunburned a little bit yesterday and then really bad the day before. Oh, man, it was so special taking his family around Disney World. They never been to Disney World. That was their first time there. And just to see the smiles on their faces going down different rides. And I asked him who his favorite character was, and it was Mickey. So he got to meet Mickey, and it's really special. Makes you think about how special life is and how thankful I am to be able to do what I do.
He was genuinely surprised to see you. I don't think he was expecting you. That,
yeah.
That,
yes, it was. You know, he's been something special about that kid since the moment I met him, and that's why I kind of gravitated toward him, because he was so nice and just cared about what I said and felt and took it to heart. So anytime that you make a connection with someone like that, you feel that you're doing the right thing. It feels good.
You mentioned last year you did have struggles in the summer. What do you think was it just getting used to the Camaro, or was it more to it than that?
Well, I don't think we were – We thought that what we had done in the off season with gaining the Camaro was going to be enough, and it wasn't. So we just had to work harder to get to where we needed to be. So we were behind. I feel like, building a new car, we weren't as prepared as we needed to be when we got to the summer. Like, not to the summer, but even before that, which we started off pretty good at Fontana. We had a good run, but after that's when I felt like our performances dropped off for a while, and we definitely needed to turn it around. And we did when it came down to it. With the last probably 13, 14 races of the year, we were where we wanted to be.
When you win the first race and you win this race, did it change your mindset toward how you do the rest of the season? Do you think now we're a championship contender, now we can win more races?
On the ride home, you're definitely every time you have a bad race, you're justifying it. Well, we won the 500, you know?
Yeah.
So that is nice to have in your back pocket, but I think I would respond differently now if I won it again, trying to stay on it each and every week. But you still got to have the car to capable of doing it and the speed out there each week to finish where you would like to finish, and that's first.
Stay more even keel, kind of.
Yeah, it's hard to stay even keel when you win this one, but we would definitely try to be ready each and every week. Yeah.
Ford's pulling everybody together, and the Toyota's all working together. Did you guys feel like you needed more bullets in the chamber?
No, I think it was just we had Reddick. They found a partner to run this race. Tyler's very capable driver. He's won here twice in the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series, and to get him in the field, this is a big race for any team, and to have three cars, it's really nice, and I think it was a great call. The Mears thing, I didn't have nothing. RCR didn't really have anything to do. That was Jermaine. So. Yeah, I think so, but you saw how the drafting was in the Clash. It'll be a little bit different when we get 40 cars out there and people splitting and doing things. Anytime you have a guy that Mike could, I mean, Bubba helped me win the race last year, so I guess yes. You know, when you have a guy that's behind you that's going to stay with you at the end of the race or in front of you that you can help to win the race, two is better than one. So, yeah, I guess it would be a positive for sure. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Chevy, if there is a plan, I haven't heard it yet. So for Chevy, if that's my answer, but yeah, I mean, if we get our tails kicked in like we did at Talladega, it's going to look bad. But Daytona is a little bit different, I feel like, in the fact that handling is more in play more often, where four cars getting in a line, the second and third car in line probably aren't going to handle as good unless you've done a really good job on your homework. It's just, it's hard to get everybody up there. What they did was so impressive. I mean, their cars were unreal. They just led the whole race. I don't see that happening again. I mean, Penske did a really good job the other day, I felt like, of leading that pack. So that's kind of scary. But with 40 cars out there, things change. And I do think it's a good idea for us to get together and make some kind of game plan. We do a pretty good job of trying to pit together and stay on the same pit strategies. So that's something that will probably be talked about more and more as we get closer to the race. We need to get together, I think, and work on that if that's how the race is going to go.
You mean talk about working well together? I'm sorry, you talk about working well together, does that just mean within the RCR technical lines cars or all the Chevy cars?
Well, we've got our partner. I mean, Hendrick, I think they've got a game plan. They've got their game plan together. They got four cars that took the first four spots. I feel like they spent a lot of time in the wind tunnel this offseason for this race, specifically seeing what Stuart Haas was able to do at Talladega, and they took over the first four spots. So our job is, you know, we have two cars in the top 10. That was really great. We go race the duels, see how it plays out, and link ourselves with them or together. We just put ourselves in the right position. Sometimes being the odd man out is not a bad thing, as you get to play off everybody else's strategy and stay with it. So we'll just see how it plays out. I'm not sure. We'll have a game plan as RCR and our Alliance guys, but this race is just like the fighters say, when you get punched in the mouth, everything changes. So it's just kind of you roll with the punches and see what falls your way. But we definitely need a game plan when it comes down to it at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have enough cars to, and even Brendan Gaughan, he ties in there too, and he races well here. If you look at the past races, that 62's been in there the last couple years. So, you know, we've got guys that know how to draft. Casey Mears is a good drafter. I've always liked working with him in the past. So we have a good group of cars that aren't afraid to put it where it needs to be. And if we come down to it and we got the majority of the cars left, that's a great opportunity for us. And that's goes the same for anybody that has their car still running at the end. I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. If you can be in the position to win on the white flag, you've got a great opportunity to win this race.
How do you look at the duel? Is it a race or a test?
I'm going to race it. I'm going to drive as hard as I can in that race because I want to see the ability of the car, and that's a mulligan. The only mulligan, the last mulligan you have is the duel going into the 500. You can always pull a backup car out for that. So I'm going to get after it pretty good, try and get the best starting position I can, see what the car's capable of, and have fun while I'm out there. It's the last kind of fun race before the stress hits before the 500.
Yeah. Avoid the big one and things like that. With the highline single file racing being the majority of what we see and what has to happen for the cars to get around the track the right way, what mentality change has gone on over the past few years with that?
I mean, I don't know if it's a mentality or it's just if you got a good group of cars that can get to the top fast, it's hard to pass them. You have to have a committed group of cars on the bottom to make it happen. The bottom's obviously the fastest way around the track if everybody's car can stay on the bottom. The way the handling of these cars are, it makes it difficult to stay on the bottom for some guys after a couple laps. So the top kind of allows your tires to, I think, stay a little bit cooler and car drive a little easier because you got room up there. I hope that it gets hot and slick on Sunday. That makes for better racing, I think, here. And we'll see. I mean, the top is kind of the line that we click laps off in, I feel like. So, I don't know. People, 40 cars up there in a line is not going to happen after. I mean, it might happen for a little while, but it just can't stay that way forever. Somebody's going to want to move. They're not going to ride in 40th.
Now, how much does the aggression level ramp up because you've clicked off those laps on the high side? Now you're getting down to the end of it, and you've got to make your move. You don't have the ability to pass, like, 2,000.
Patience is a virtue in that game, I guess. It's just waiting to make the right move and putting yourself in position throughout the race. You can't wait long is I think what you're trying to get out of me is, like, people are going to have to find their track position throughout the race, and I agree with that. You can't wait till the end to try and drive up through the field. It's not plausible, but there's also things that happen, like big wrecks, like you saw in the Clash. So there's so many ways to win this race. You just hope that you did the right one.
Give me a
Daniel Hemric story. First time I met him, he was in an orange fire suit, had orange hair over his ears, no shirt on, with his suit hanging at his waist, walking down pit road. And I was like, man, who is this guy? And we were like 13, 14 years old. And I was like, whoever that is cool. And I'm like, I want to be friends with him. So from that point on, we were pretty much buddies and raced together throughout Bandoleros, Legends cars, and stuff like that. So there's your story. He used to be a shirtless, orange-haired kid running around a track.
What race was that?
It was a Bandolero race at Charlotte in the quarter mile inside the track. So
does he face anything unusual because he's 27 and just now making a move up the cup, and most of you guys kind of made the move sooner?
I don't think unusual. I mean, he's here, so he's done his job. He's young enough to do it for a long time, and hopefully he's successful at it. That's what we all do it for. Thank you.
Hey, I like the